Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
So I know that meteorological spring doesn't start until March, but I think once we have January down, a lot of us kind of feel the worst is over, getting into a spring mindset. But we can feel a bit run down and dried out after the winter. Or a lot of people getting over flus and doses. A lot of people had a very rough week this week without power and water. And in general, like, we can feel like wanting to switch up our eating to feel a bit healthier. So I'm joined now by dietitian and nutrition lecturer Sarah Keogh to give us a few tips on getting back on track and a bit healthier. Welcome back, Sarah.
Thank you.
And Sarah, you are a no-nonsense, non-judgy person. Just absolve us first. It's okay that we've been comfort eating through the cold
weather.
Oh,
please, honest to God, we've all been doing that.
Yeah, because grand.
And comfort eating works.
Yeah,
you know,
does it, yeah.
I'd often joke, you don't come home after a bad day and looking for salad. Like, you come home for chocolate and crisps. So, do you know, for as a short-term, quick thing, look, don't be beating yourself up over it. Like, it's totally normal and fine.
But everything has its time, and maybe we try and ease out of it now. A few basics first. I find it very hard to drink water in the winter. It's so cold, like.
Oh, it is, absolutely. And the hydration, though, still is important. But the thing to remember, it doesn't have to be freezing cold water out of the tap. So, you know, herbal teas actually are brilliant if you like them. And I know when I say that, people often roll their eyes. But, you know, try peppermint tea. It's good taste. All those things.
And that is hydrating.
It's hydrating. That's going to work as well. Milk, if you like a glass of milk with your dinner, that's going to hydrate you as well. Small glass of fruit juice is going to be fine. Not gallons of juice now, but a glass of fruit juice is fine. But the other thing as well is, you know, someone say to you, oh, well, you know, if the tap water kind of, it gets a bit warm, and you're like, so what? Do you know, actually, you can drink more of it when it's at room temperature. It's more just getting the idea. It doesn't actually have to be freezing cold. So I have to say, for myself, I'd often just put a glass on the draining board and let it warm up.
Yeah, or drop a hot into it. Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Fruit as well is kind of hard to eat.
It is, and we do think of fruit of kind of sitting on a sunny, you know, balcony in Spain with lovely chopped fruit in front of us. But look, we do cooked fruit. You know, we do apple crumble at this time of year. We do berry crumbles. We do stewed apple and custard. You know, there's lovely fruit desserts actually that are fantastic for bringing them in. But again, let the fruit come up to room temperature. You know, a fruit bowl is really good because, again, it's at room temperature. It actually tastes nicer out of the fridge. You get more flavour out of a lot of food when it's not freezing cold. So bring it in that way. And I always think bananas are fantastic because you're going to chop them over your porridge or things like that in the morning.
They do still qualify as fruit, do they?
They do, per bananas. So bananas actually have less sugar than apples. And I think everyone thinks bananas are like stuffed full of sugar and they're going to be terrible. But actually, they're 70% water and a great source of vitamin C. So fire away if you like a banana. They're brilliant.
Come here. Can I ask you about kiwis? Because I got the impression somewhere that kiwis are kind of a superfood gut-wise, 15 times the vitamin C of an orange and all that. So I'm forcing kiwis down myself whenever I can.
There is absolutely no point forcing yourself to eat food you hate. I say that all the time because I've had so many patients come into clinics over the years and like, seriously, you do not have to torture yourself with this stuff. Find a different fruit if you hate kiwis. Kiwis are brilliant, but, you know, and they are high in fibre. I wouldn't say they have 15 times the vitamin C of oranges, but they've some. They're actually very good for helping you sleep. So two kiwis about an hour before you go to bed actually make you fall asleep faster and stay asleep for longer. But if you don't like them, you know, oranges
they don't
are
like
fine.
Them, but
apples
in the middle
fine.
Of winter, and some of them can get a bit turnipy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay, your first big tip today is vitamin D.
Definitely.
Do you mean an actual supplement?
I would take an actual supplement on that. And it's a thing I get asked about a lot. And I have a good post up on Instagram at the moment at Sarah Keogh RD that's just looking at some of the different tips to look at. And vitamin D is always in there because I know some people hate the idea of supplements. But in Ireland, we just don't get the sun. And if we were to go and do a study now on Irish people and vitamin D, you know, at the end of January, most of us are going to be on the low side, if not fully deficient. And vitamin D is a funny one because you don't feel it. Like, when you're low in iron, you'll feel tired. If you're low in B12, you don't feel great. But you can be very low in vitamin D and you don't feel anything. So it's not one to wait and think, oh, I'll wait till I'm feeling bad. You do get vitamin D in foods like mackerel and salmon will give it to you. But the amount that we need is just not going to, from food, is really difficult. So it's a supplement for adults, 15 micrograms a day. And I'd highly recommend that everyone gets started on that.
And you're generally not pushing supplements.
Not generally pushing, you know, food first where we can. But vitamin D, we just don't get the sun.
Speaking of mackerel and fish and that kind of thing, omega-3 is your next thing. We're
it
not
is. And
getting
the big,
enough.
Yeah. The big one I would always look at is people think omega-3 is kind of one thing, but there's lots of different omega-3s out there. And one of the big ones for your mood, and I often find at this time of year, people are kind of coming through, we're wishing for a bit of a bright day or something and the mood isn't great.
Yeah.
EPA is a very particular fish oil and we get it in oily fish like salmon and mackerel. And what we know is that if people have anxiety and depression, they have lower levels of EPA in their blood when we measure it. And we know that if we take people with anxiety and depression, medication and we give them EPA, this particular fish omega-3, after 3 months, we see a big improvement in symptoms of anxiety and depression.
Really?
So now it takes about 3 months. It's not take okay. it for a week and then give up.
And is that a supplement that you can take as well?
You can take it as a supplement. You can absolutely take it as a supplement, because I know some people really don't go with fish. But if you actually like fish, get your oily fish in once or twice a week and it's going to be fantastic. And you get all the other nice nutrients that are in the fish as well.
OK. Anything else for people who are feeling a bit flat? Any good mood foods?
I mean, to be honest, it's basically getting a good healthy diet in, but one that does get overlooked a huge amount is just getting fibre in. And I know I talk a lot about fibre, but it is so important for feeding your gut bacteria, getting your gut moving, keeping, you know, we know that good gut health is linked with good mental health as well. And 80% of people in Ireland are still not hitting targets for fibre. And you know, what I would say to you is you've got to get fibre at every meal. You know, some, you know, if you like your porridge in the morning, you know, if you want to go and have brown bread at lunchtime, jacket potatoes at dinner, but always get your fruit and veg in at every meal as well. And I find a lot of people miss that. We're good at the veg at dinner time, but we miss out maybe lunch, dinner, or breakfast. It's not coming in.
Okay.
So each meal, get your fruit and veg in. Each meal, have you got a high fibre carb in there? And you'll actually go a really long way to boosting gut health and mental health with that.
Speaking of the gut, where do you stand on probiotics?
So probiotics are such a funny thing, because it's a bit like going, where do you stand on medicines? It depends on what the medicine is, what it's for, and what you want it to do. So probiotics are not just all good for the gut. And I meet loads of people like, oh, I take a probiotic, and I go, well, for what? And they're like, well, I don't know. Now, don't get me wrong, they have a great place.
Oh my gosh, they say.
But some probiotics are good for managing diarrhea, some are good for managing constipation, and you really don't want to get them mixed up. Some support your immune system. So there's lots of different ones that do different things. There's also so many on the market now, and some of them have fantastic research behind them. Others, you know, maybe not quite as robust. So I would say if you're thinking of a probiotic, and especially some of them are very expensive, one session with a good gut dietitian. And people haven't said that to me. They've saved a fortune in supplements coming in to see me, because I code through and I take them off about 10 things that they're taking that they just don't actually need okay. to be on. So do your research with someone who knows what they're talking about for the
Actimel
probiotics.
Actimel and that kind of thing.
So some of the ones that are on the market out there, and I don't work for any of them.
Yeah.
Things like Yakult and Actimel actually have some quite solid research behind them in terms of supporting the immune system. There's a couple of others that would be involved in constipation. They're quite kind of well marketed. There's a good Irish one, things like Alpharex, for example, that's good in terms of irritable bowel and things like that. But I would say, you know, if you have funny stuff going on with your gut, will you get into your doctor and get checked? The amount of people okay. who have other stuff going on. But you know, there's some of the ones that have some really good research behind them, but there's loads of other good ones out there.
It's all about inflammation these days, and
yes.
I do think we all feel that we're inflamed highly at this time of the year now. You hear about like garlic, ginger, turmeric, old wives' tales.
Yes and no. I mean, what we're really looking at with, we talk about inflammation, which is actually a natural and normal thing your body does to deal with problems that are there, but the inflammation should stop and go away. What happens when it hangs around for longer is it can cause damage, and we know that it's linked with a little bit more heart disease and diabetes and things like that. What we do for inflammation, the two big things are fruit and veg, because what they have in them are antioxidants, and these, there's a whole load of these. Some of them are polyphenols, there's flavonoids, there's all these different things. Don't worry about it. Fruit and veg have them. Lots
this
of different
is all
ones.
Coming back to a lot of fruit and veg.
This is, you know, guess what? You know, healthy eating works, do you know what I mean? But what
don't
you have is you've
it.
Got yeah. nice ones in turmeric, you've got lovely ones in garlic, you've lovely ones in onions, but you've got great ones in carrots. You know, you don't have to go out and buy really expensive things, but just that the fruit and veg is turning up on the plate, you know, at each meal, and you'll actually be a really long way with it. The good news is, though, is dark chocolate is absolutely packed with some of these sort of things that help with inflammation, and really, really rich in minerals as well.
Great.
So that's a lovely thing to
so
go for if you
that
like
in
it.
The evening.
Maybe not a whole one, yeah. but you know, kind of add it in there.
If you've been sick and you're a bit diminished, what should you be eating to build yourself back up?
So what we do see sometimes if people have been quite sick is, if particularly if your appetite goes, and we see this in older people, maybe they're just not eating and protein tends to go. And particularly for older people, they can start to lose a lot of muscle with that and they don't always get it back. So if you've kind of, you know, a young person who's been a bit sick, not eating great, they'll pop back, they'll come. But if you're struggling with appetite, I'd focus in on protein really and focus in on calories. This is actually the time, if you know, particularly if you've lost a bit of weight and you're struggling with your appetite, it's the time to eat the high calorie stuff. It's the time to be lashing the butter onto the toast. It's the time to actually be eating the biscuits.
Okay.
Which kind of sounds a bit counterintuitive. We're not recommending it forever. But if you have a poor appetite and you're struggling and you need to get it back up, get the calories in, get the protein in and the calories in.
Yeah, because I guess people kind of go two ways when they're recovering from sickness. One is they want to eat all around them.
Yep.
And the other is they lose their appetite.
Yes.
What's the way to get your appetite back?
So getting your appetite back can actually be quite difficult. And I know when I've worked with lots of people, and I worked in cancer for years, when you're trying to get sort of appetite back, when people are feeling that a little bit better, what you're really trying to do is get into the habit of snacking about every 2 hours, and that actually works. And it just kind of trains the body to get hungry again. So you're having sort of breakfast, lunch and dinner as much as you can, but in between, you know, even a couple of biscuits, you know, something like that, just that there's a little bit of eating all the time. And that helps, because even if you're not hungry, you can eat a little bit of something and okay. then it just tops you up over it and the snacking. But get help.
Okay, but lots don't of be worrying about sugar and stuff
not
like that.
Not at that
as
stage,
as
you know. As I said, when you're well, look, we look at healthy eating. But when you're not, I often go, healthy eating is for healthy people. You know, when you're sick, sometimes you need something a little bit different.
So, funny, you've been mainly talking about adding things in today, mm-hmm. whereas usually a lot of time when people are talking about diet and stuff, they're talking about taking things out.
It's not my, I hate going along to people going, don't eat this and don't eat that, because to be honest, there's nothing you need to actually cut out altogether. And I think sometimes the focus people do are so focused on cutting out, whether it's sugar or fat or whatever it is they're worried about, they actually miss that the fundamental thing is add in. Because when we look at the Irish population, as I said, 80% of us are not eating enough fibre. So rather than you worrying about the sugar you're eating, I'd rather you worried about bringing in your fibre. You know, we're on average only eating 3.5 servings of fruit and veg a day. We want to be, you know, 5 to 7. But what you'll often find, if you get the healthy eating in, you naturally eat less of some of the things that maybe aren't as good for us.
Sarah Keogh, our common sense dietitian and nutrition lecturer, thank you so much. Terrific as always. And we'll pause for the Angelus.